Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Monday, so that means my dad will call in and tell a jokey time. And that is sponsored by the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn. Check out galestreet.com. And, yeah, so we're going to be talking about the most memorable and the coolest or your favorite aliens from movies and TV. 312-981-7200. There's an article now about V. Now, you guys, Dan, you're too young to remember when V first came on, because it came on in May of 83, which would have made you, what, 1.5?
Right.
And Esmeralda, you were a month old.
Yes.
So you don't remember. But in reruns, have you ever seen the original V?
I haven't, no.
No?
I watched the first episode of the reboot.
The reboot?
Return they did.
Yeah.
That was it.
You know, they did a pretty remarkable job advertising that. And it's in the article here where they talk about some of the weird stuff. And I totally remember they did these. This was way ahead of it. The show came on in 1983. It was a two-night miniseries. It was on NBC. And it became a phenomenon. It became a cultural phenomenon. I mean, people went nuts over it, and they still do. I can't tell you the number of things that I've seen from V that are signed by Robert Englund. Like, you know, Robert Englund was just at our flashback convention. And, you know, obviously he signs a bunch of Freddy stuff that people bring. He'll sign Freddy stuff. But there's a large contingency, because he had a major part in V. There's a large contingency who bring V stuff for Robert Englund to sign, because it really was it was kind of a cultural phenomenon. And I remember seeing the posters for it on the L, on the platforms of the L, and they actually mentioned this in the article here, about where it looked like it was vandalized, like somebody spray painted a V on the poster. And that kind of advertisement, they never did that kind of stuff before. I mean, now you kind of see that the weird sort of unusual advertising that you can see where they don't reveal what the product or the movie or the show or whatever it is until 3 or 4 ads later after they do this weird sort of ad campaign. But so I remember standing on the L and looking and going, wow, what's this V? And there was no information. It didn't say NBC. Didn't have any, you know, it did not explain that it was a miniseries. Just suddenly these Vs started popping up all over the place, on buses and on Ls and stuff like that. And then finally, you know, like about a week or 2 weeks later, they started to reveal a little bit more and then, say that it's a miniseries and it's on NBC. But I'd never really seen anything like that before, that in terms of advertising, that kind of advertising. But it was, on the surface, V appeared to be no different. It was a two-part miniseries on consecutive evenings in May of 1983, and it told the story of the quote-unquote visitors, gregarious aliens who arrive on Earth in 3-mile-long spaceships to greet humans with a bargain. Let the visitors harvest a chemical needed for their continued survival and receive advanced medical knowledge in return. As the humanoid aliens reveal themselves to be malevolent, lizard-like creatures who prefer to dine on humans rather than prolong their lives, V took on the look and feel of pulpy sci-fi epic that kind of could have easily been summarized by one amazing story's cover image from the 40s. But writer Kenneth Johnson had something far more subversive in mind. The visitors were stand-ins for fascists, and V was a cautionary tale about the perils of complacency. A Carnegie Mellon graduate, Johnson had broken into television with a writing stint on The $6 Million Man, for which he conceived the female counterpart in the form of Jamie Summers, Lindsay Wagner. Summers got her own role, the Bionic Woman, which Johnson produced until he was tasked with adapting The Incredible Hulk as a live-action drama. So here's the guy behind the Bionic Woman, The Incredible Hulk, and then he comes up with V. And I remember, talking about it in school as a senior in high school, and everybody was talking about it, like the day after it aired. You know, we were all like, wow, this is really cool. And the lizard makeup was great, and it was scary, and it was funny. It was awesome. V was great. And so we're talking about great aliens, and these were lizards, little lizard aliens. So there are all kinds of different kind of aliens, and we're going to talk about what your favorites are. We already got texts that have come in about your favorite or the weirdest or the most memorable aliens in TV and movies. Dave from Monroe says, Wisconsin says, Mork from Ork. Yes, of course. You got to put Mork on there. Best alien or Martian has to be Gazoo. 708 area code. You guys familiar with Gazoo?
Is he the little tiny one that hung around Fred Flintstone?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. He was Gazoo. A lot of people think that the Flintstones jumped the shark when Gazoo showed up. Do you guys know who did the voice for Gazoo? Anybody know who did the voice for Gazoo?
I do not.
Harvey Korman. Steve says, without a doubt, my favorite TV alien is the green Orion woman in Star Trek. If Orion ever invades our planet, I will be one of the first in line to welcome our green female overlords. I'm not mistaken. And, you know, the Star Trek fans will know this better than I do. Trust me on this. I think Yvonne Craig played one of them, one of the green aliens on Star Trek. I think Yvonne Craig, who played Batgirl, was one of my first crushes. And then finally, 765 area code says the half-black, half-white aliens played by Frank Gorshin and another actor in the Star Trek episode, Let That Be Your Last Battlefield. We got the Star Trek fans out this morning naming their favorite, very specific Star Trek aliens. All right, cool. 312-981-7200. We got a break here for the news. And then when we come back, we will we get the phone lines open, the text lines open. Get in here with your favorite, most memorable TV and movie aliens in honor of this great article about V, which we've got up on our Facebook page, right? Is it up? You can read this great article about the miniseries V. It's on our Facebook page, facebook.com/NickDShow. News is coming up. Hi, everybody. Good morning. How are you? It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN Monday morning. I'm starting off our work week and with a laugh because my dad's going to call up and tell a jokey joke. That'll be a little bit later on. Our phone number and text number is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. And we're talking about the best or the most memorable or your favorite aliens from TV and movies, and we'll talk about some of your favorites coming up right here on WGN 312-981-7200. Here's Steve in Galesburg. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, I'm showing my soft side here, but the big alien, and then all the little buddies that brought people off the ship and into the ship and Close Encounters when they took Dreyfus in. Those guys, that's my favorite.
Yeah. Well, you know, having just seen the movie a couple of weeks ago on the big screen again, and being reminded of how awesome that movie is, and those little aliens, and then the one that comes out and communicates, you know,
I figured you were all into the horror and gore, and that I just.
Well, I am into horror and gore, Steve, but I also
I listen to your show,
but I also love Close Encounters is one of my favorite movies of all time, and
we're on the same page on that, then.
Yeah. All right, Steve, take care.
All right.
See ya. 312-981-7200. Yeah. The thing about Close Encounters, man, it was so cool to see that movie back on the big screen. It was so amazing. Was that's a very, you know, until you find out that the aliens are kind, there's some scary stuff in that movie. When they take the kid, when they're messing around, surrounding the house, and they pull the kid and take him away. That's scary, man. So, Dan, do you have any favorite aliens from movies or TV?
So the franchise is now besmirched, you know, beyond redemption. But I saw it originally as a cartoon, and I don't hate the first movie because it was the right movie at the right time for my age and being young and dumb. But the Transformers franchise, like I said, I really loved the cartoon growing up, and they are technically aliens.
They are aliens. Yeah,
yeah, people think they're robots, but they're alien robots. But like I said, you know, the first movie I don't hate. I kind of get a kick out of, and you know, those were, you know, I watched that a lot on Saturday morning TV.
Yeah. Okay. Esmeralda, do you have any aliens that you've enjoyed?
I immediately think of Elf.
Elf.
That was the first thing when you started talking about it. I thought of Elf.
Alien life form.
Mm-hmm. From Melmac.
Yes. And his name, though, was Gordon Shumway.
Yeah.
That was Alf's name, Gordon Shumway. Alf, hey, I want to eat a cat. Go get the cat. I want to eat the cat. I'm Alf. That was my Alf, Esmeralda.
It was really good.
Thank you.
For a second, I was like, whoa, Alf is here.
Yeah. I'm going to stay in the garage and get a cat. I'm going to eat the cat. I'm Alf. Alf. In Alf, a sitcom that aired on NBC from 1986 to 1990, alien Gordon Shumway, or ALF, which is an acronym for alien life form, follows an amateur radio signal to Earth and crash lands in the garage of the Tanners. The Tanners are a suburban middle-class family in the San Fernando Valley. The family consists of social worker Willie, his wife Kate, their teenage daughter Lynn, younger brother Brian, and their cat Lucky. In the series finale, ALF is about to be rescued by other survivors from his home planet, but is instead captured by the U.S. military and his fate is left unresolved. There was apparently not supposed to be a finale as it originated, and with the words "to be continued" on the screen. The producers supposedly had a verbal agreement with NBC to produce at least one more episode to resolve the cliffhanger, but NBC never made good on the deal. The series was canceled. Happily for fans, however, the story was concluded in the TV movie Project ALF. Yeah, so at the end of the series, you thought he was going to he was getting captured. You didn't think they were going to kill ALF. ALF was going to get iced. ALF gets iced was the, I believe, the name of the last episode.
It wasn't Gordon Shumway gets iced.
ALF gets iced. did they call him ALF? I never watched the show.
Yes.
So they did actually call him ALF.
Yes. I think I think it would be too much to be like, "Hey, Gordon."
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I didn't watch the show.
Yeah, ALF. You know, sounds more nicknamey. So.
Yeah, ALF. Did you see Project ALF?
I didn't.
So I guess they
haven't.
There was closure for all the ALF fans.
I'm gonna have to look it up.
I didn't realize that there was closure. Now, I'm surprised, Esmeralda. I know you thought of ALF immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as TV goes, the first one there are two of them. It's Kang and Kodos from The Simpsons. Those were the first aliens that I thought of TV-wise. That was the best. Those are my favorites in the TV world. There's a bunch of other ones, too, the TV aliens that are great. 312-981 7200 is the phone number. Here's Noel on WGN. Hey, Noel.
Hey, Nick. How are you?
All right.
You know, you and I are the same age. So in our, you know, formative early partying years,
yeah,
I became fascinated with David Bowie.
Mm.
And The Man Who Fell to Earth is one of my favorite alien movies. Just watching him suck in all the indulgences of this world.
Yeah.
I never understood where his money came from, but it was a great movie.
Yeah, a really great movie. I was too young to see it the first time I saw it. I was way too young to have seen it.
Me too.
Because I didn't know what the hell was going on. I was just like, what is this? Because I knew David Bowie, you know, from his music and the fact that he was a rock star. Then I see this movie and I'm like, what is this? What?
And the fact that he has two different colored eyes,
yeah,
like really, just played right into that movie.
Yeah, no question about it. No question about it. Great choice. Hey, thanks. Have a great day, okay?
You too.
Bye. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We got a break here for weather and traffic and then more alien talk. We got a bunch of texts coming in, too. And if you want to call or text us, 312-981-7200. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. I'm your overnight dude here, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. every weekday morning. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Monday morning, that means my dad in a little bit is going to call in and tell a jokey joke. Sponsored by the Gale Street Inn, the greatest restaurant on the planet. And we're discussing aliens right now, the most memorable, the best aliens from TV and movies. And there's a really wonderful piece about the fantastic miniseries from the 80s, V, and we posted it up on our Facebook page, and that inspired us to start talking about cool aliens. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you want to join us. And here is Mark on WGN. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, the most interesting Star Trek alien to me doesn't look out of the ordinary. In fact, she looks like an elegantly dressed Earth woman, but the thing about her species is that they're all mute, and that means she has no spoken lines. The episode is called The Empath, and that's what she is. She has healing powers, and everything she communicates about that has to be through her eyes and through her facial expressions and through the way she touches people, because she can't talk.
Mm. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. All right. I'm not a big Star Trek guy. But that sounds pretty cool. Well, they always had interesting stuff on Star Trek. Star Trek was, you know, was one of those shows that that was really, you know, intelligent and examined a lot of things, philosophical as well. So, Mark, thanks for the call. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's Mike on WGN. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Dan. Hey. Excuse me. How you doing there?
All right, man.
Yeah. Funniest aliens for me were Jeff Goldblum, Damon Wayans, and Jim Carrey in Earth Girls Are Easy.
I love that movie. God, I love that movie so much. I do. I love Julie Brown. I'm a big fan of Julie Brown's.
Okay.
And you know, if I remember correctly, didn't Julian Temple direct that movie?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. You got it correct.
Yeah, man, that was Julian a good Temple. Movie. Yeah, and that was like, you know, nobody really knew who Jim Carrey was.
No.
Because it was that pre
Living Color.
It was, okay.
Yeah. Because nobody really knew who Damon Wayans was either.
No, nobody knew who Damon Wayans was either. That's right. And they both ended up in Living Color. That's interesting. All right, Mike, thanks, man.
You're welcome.
Have a good day. Esmeralda, you ever see Earth Girls Are Easy?
Oh yes.
Yeah. That was another one that was on Comedy Central a lot, I would imagine. Yeah. But that's good though. But that's a good movie. Corsican Brothers is not.
Tell Comedy Central that.
Yeah, I know. They're just showing stuff that they have to, that's all they got. All right. How about some aliens from movies here? Stuff.com put together the top 25 movie aliens. And, of course, you can't have a list without Alien from Alien. The alien from the Alien movies. One of the creepiest looking things ever. H.R. Giger is the designer. And it is one of the best, one of the coolest looking aliens. And you think alien in a movie, that's the first thing that pops into my head is the alien design that Giger did for the first Alien and then the subsequent sequels. All right, how about Predator? Do you guys enjoy the Predator? Predator was cool looking.
Rocking the dreads.
Had the dreads. That weird mouth that opened up.
Didn't he have, like, teeth?
Yeah.
Like, four teeth.
Four big teeth, and his mouth would go, and, like, open up.
Yeah, he kind of looked like one of those, like, bulldog-looking dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, you know what? The Predator, by the way, is female, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
If I'm not mistaken, if I remember correct, I've only seen Predator. Predator, I think, is a pretty good movie. I'm alone on this. I like Predator 2 more. I thought Predator 2 was better. And you know who basically steals Predator 2? Busey. Gary Busey rules in Predator 2. If you go back and watch Predator 2, I thought that movie was pretty cool, man. I like that. I like the sequel to Predator. And then everybody in the original Predator went on to be governors. They all, like, half the cast became governors.
Yeah, because you got the Minnesota. What was
Jesse Ventura?
That's right.
Yeah, Arnold, governor.
Well, obviously, Arnold. Yeah. Wow. Hey, I got one. I wonder if it's on your list. It took me a while to find their names, but I remember their characters from the 1985 movie called Explorers with River Phoenix.
Oh, man.
Do you remember? I found their names. The aliens' names were Wok and Neek. And they got all of their knowledge about Earth from junk culture.
From TV.
They were hilarious.
I'm telling you, Vic, I'm so happy that you brought that movie. I love that movie.
I do too.
And it's like this standard sort of, Joe Dante directed it. And it's like this. That was Ethan Hawke. It was like 12
yes,
when he was
Ethan
in it.
Ethan Hawke was great in that, I thought.
Yeah, but it's like this sort of standard, you know, kind of Spielberg-influenced kind of thing. And then once they get to that planet, it goes off the rails.
Yeah.
And it just gets so weird. And the aliens themselves were designed by Rob Bottin. Rob Bottin, one of the best, you know, makeup special effects guys in the
really?
Ever in the business. And he designed those aliens. And I remember seeing that movie at a screening. And, you know, when it took that weird turn and those aliens came out and, like, did stand-up routines and it became, like, this surreal commentary about television and,
yeah.
and just it lost every critic in the screening room except for me.
Really?
Yeah, they were all like, what happened to this movie? It started out so good and now it's so weird. And I love the last half hour of Explorers.
I did too.
Oh, man. I'm glad you brought that one up.
Cool.
That was funny. You guys, Dan, you ever see Explorers?
No, it sounds great, though.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, you should watch it. I'm going to look it up and find
crazy.
It.
It's crazy. It's crazy. These kids invent, like, this ball that can float.
Thunder Road, I think, is the name of the spaceship that they make.
The spaceship. It's like
something
a ball
like
that then they can get inside it, and they end up going to another dimension. It's weird. Ethan Hawke, I can't remember who the other kids are in the
but
movie.
But he's expecting Ethan Hawke loves space, and
yeah.
he's expecting to, like, find these aliens that just tell him the meaning of life,
right.
and then all they know is stuff they've seen on TV, radio,
a bunch
or whatever.
A bunch of crap TV they know.
Yeah.
They're, like, doing impressions of bad TV, and they have no knowledge. They're idiots.
He's like, this is it? This is what he can teach us? It's great.
It's fantastic. Have you ever seen Esmeralda Explorers?
I haven't, no.
Oh, it's really good. Joe Dante, man. That guy, tremendous director. He directed, for these of you who don't know, he directed Gremlins, and he directed The Burbs, which is one of my favorite movies, and Piranha, and, you know, a lot of great movies. Let's see, 440 episode says, or episode, zip code? What the hell? Area code says, one of the most original was the original Outer Limits in the episode Architects of Fear. Scientists turn Robert Culp into this alien invader to scare the world so they won't have atomic war. I guess the monster looked so scary when it was first broadcast, the TV station blocked out the image. Wow. Duke says, my favorite Martian. We heard that one earlier this morning. Carl Amare picked my favorite Martian. 815 area code. The two aliens that looked like dogs on Bewitched. I don't remember that. Before we break here, Brian in Aurora says, wasn't Alf an alien? Gotta love him. Okay. Yes, Alf was an alien, and he got iced. All right. We got the news coming up next, and then more. Hi. Hi there, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How are you? We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5. Steve Grzanich coming up with the opening bell at 5, and Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. My dad is going to call in. It's Monday, so it's a jokey time, brought to you by the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn in Jefferson Park. Check out galestreet.com and my... Great thanks go out to George and everybody at the Gale Street Inn. Okay, we've been talking about movie and TV aliens. And what are the most memorable? What are the coolest? What are the weirdest? Which ones are your favorites? 312-981-7200. Let's see. We've got some more here from the movies. We have they were talking about Invasion of the Body Snatchers. The aliens from Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And... you know, that's one of those, you know, it's really, every time we bring up Invasion of the Body Snatchers or it comes up, Dan, that's the only movie that I've liked every version of.
Right, I remember you saying that.
It's been made 4 times. They've made that movie, they've made it 4 times, and they're all good. It's like, you'd think, like, you can't remake a movie 3 times and have it be good every time out of the gate, but they're all good. The first one, I mean, obviously the first one, Kevin McCarthy, is classic. The 1978 version are arguably just as good. Donald Sutherland, Brooke Adams, Leonard Nimoy's in that one for added effect. And then the third time it was called Body Snatchers, and it took place on an army base. And it was Terry Kinney and Meg Tilly and Gabrielle Anwar. Whatever happened to Gabrielle Anwar? She was a babe. And I love that version. Abel Ferrara directed that. And then the last one was called Invasion with Daniel Craig and Nicole Kidman. And I liked that, too. All good.
Gabrielle Anwar went on to star on Burn Notice.
Oh, right. She was on Burn Notice. That's right. Totally forgot about that. That show was on for 46 seasons. Isn't that? Am I about right on that?
Yeah, I think you're right on.
You remember the SNL sketch, of course.
That's why I laugh.
What is Burn Notice? I love the Aliens and Mars Attacks. I don't care. I know that people don't like that movie. I like that movie, and the Aliens in Mars Attacks are hilarious. And Jack Nicholson also screams the best shut ups of all time. He tells, can you find that, Dan? It's just Jack Nicholson screaming shut up at Rod Steiger in Mars Attacks. And I love the Aliens in Mars Attacks. They just totally crack me up. Every time they would go, and they open their mouths, I would laugh. So, Mars Attacks. I got to vote for those aliens.
Hell. Shut up! Shut up! Shut up!
One of my favorite shut-ups in film history. All right. Let's see. What are some of the other ones here? TV aliens. We got to get to some of those as well. We got a bunch of texts here. Let me read some more of these texts from you guys. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Let's see. Tom in London says, my favorite alien is the alien xenomorph from Alien. Iconic and terrifying, yes. 218 area code. The Thing. John Carpenter, man. Yes. The Thing, man. One of the coolest shape-shifting aliens ever. Rex. Hey, Nick. I'm streaming you guys in Colorado. My pick is Marvin the Martian. You got to love Marvin the Martian, man. By the way, in Close Encounters, I'd forgotten this briefly, that one morning the kids are up and they're watching Marvin the Martian on TV, like right before all the craziness happens. Marvin the Martian is on. 773, our best aliens to have would be the group from Space Invaders. They moved a little slow, though, the guys from space. They were only moving one direction, I think. 815 area code. The aliens in Attack the Block were very cool. Yeah, that's true. That's a good movie if you've not seen it. 779 area code says Doctor Who is my favorite alien. We get a lot of Doctor Who's in here. 708 also said Doctor Who. 847 area code said The Day the Earth Stood Still scared the crap out of me when I was little. Yeah, you're talking about the original, right? Not the remake. You know, I mean, I always defend Keanu. You know that, because I love Keanu. I legitimately think Keanu Reeves is a terrific actor, and I think he's smart. He makes interesting choices. That was not good. Did you ever see that, Dan, the remake of Day of the Earth Stood Still?
I watched like the scene with him in a diner or a restaurant, and that's all I gave it to
man,
it.
Man, oh, man. Really bad. All right, how about some TV aliens? How about the Coneheads from Saturday Night Live? 331 area code also votes for the Coneheads. They were from the planet Remulac. Now, do you remember where they said that they were from, Dan? I mean, this isn't part of the SNL, aggravating SNL quiz.
But... I read the thing, so I...
Oh. Do you remember, Esmeralda? What?
France.
That's right. Yes. You actually knew an SNL question.
I knew that because of the movie.
Oh. Oh, of course. Another Comedy Central staple. Oh, man. All right. Let's see. We've got another TV. They picked Diana from V, Marvin the Martians from Looney Tunes. Oh, how about the Solomons from Third Rock from the Sun? They were aliens.
Oh, yeah.
Little Joseph Gordon-Levitt and his hair. Yes.
What about those ones with the spots on their heads? They were cops.
Oh, Alien Nation?
Yeah.
That was based on a movie. Did you know that?
Oh, no.
Yeah, James Caan, Mandy Patinkin.
Oh.
I watched the show, I watched the TV show, I think, once or twice.
Yeah, movies, I remember it.
Movie's really good. Alien Nation, the movie, it's really good.
Yeah. I feel like Alien Nation always came on Fox, like on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. It was definitely a Fox show.
Yeah.
Definitely.
They would rerun it.
And it was one of those, you know, shows. It was the movie was like a, you know, an analogy about people of other cultures mm-hmm. assimilating, you know,
right?
Because they partner them up with an alien. They partner James Caan,
mm-hmm.
who doesn't like aliens, who's alien, anti-alien.
Of course.
Mork from Ork.
Yeah.
He's at TV.
There's the, from Futurama.
Oh.
There's, let's see. Well, there's they're
all kind of aliens,
essentially all aliens.
Bender's just a robot, though, but he's not an alien.
He's a robot. Zoidberg. Is a robot.
He's an alien. Zoidberg. Yeah. Neil from Arkansas says, my favorite Martian went off the air. They did an animated version of it. Jonathan Harris did the voice of the grandfather and had two antennas, and the nephew just had one.
Hmm.
Jonathan Harris. Oh, no. He's lost in space. Dr. Right. Smith. Take the boy. Not me. Oh, no.
Is there aliens in Lost in Space?
Oh, my God. Every episode.
But they were just...
They were human. And they had the robot.
Oh, but they never
but
had
they went
like,
to different...
hanging around.
Well, they
were aliens.
No, they did. Almost every episode, they were aliens.
Yeah, but, those are just, then they leave and then... But there wasn't
They
weren't
cast members on the show.
There wasn't a reoccurring...
They weren't regulars, No, they were the main characters. It was a family, and Dr. Smith was originally supposed to be, like, the bad guy.
He kind of felt like it.
Well, he was, but he kept getting sillier each season.
Right.
He just, oh no, you bag of bullets. He would yell at the robot. And at first he was supposed to be a bad guy, like a legit bad guy who was trying to sabotage their mission.
Right.
And, you know, like get the family hurt or killed. Mm-hmm. Then when they made the movie, you remember the movie version with William Hurt and Mimi Rogers?
Very vaguely.
Gary Oldman played Dr. Smith in it, but he played it straight. Like, he was a villain. He was a mm-hmm. bad guy. Matt LeBlanc was in that.
Oh, okay.
Lost in Space, they made a movie out of it. Completely changed the whole, I mean, like, because the TV series was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, real kitschy.
Yeah, but they made it, like, straight up sci-fi, man. By the way, the guy who directed that movie, oddly enough, directed Predator 2, a movie I was praising not too long ago.
Well, you can't all win them.
That's right. How about Superman? Superman's an alien.
Oh, right.
He's an alien. He's from Krypton.
Okay. there's that one American Family, that TV show, the cartoon.
The alien with Paul Lynde's voice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't remember his name.
I can't either.
It's Big Head.
Yeah. He's basically Seth MacFarlane doing Paul Lynde.
Right.
Is what the voice is. That's American Dad.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah, not American Family, American Dad.
Correct.
Yeah. All his shows are the same anyway. They're all
they all meld together.
Yeah, they do. I think American Dad's pretty funny.
Mm.
And I think Family Guy's very funny. But I never once liked the Cleveland Show. The Cleveland Show was terrible. I don't think there was ever a funny episode of the Cleveland Show.
Yeah.
Was there an alien on that one, too?
No, there was a talking bear.
That's right. It was
right.
That's right. All right, we got a break here. We got weather, we got traffic, and then my dad's going to call in and tell a jokey joke, and then we'll wrap up the alien talk here. All right, aliens. Let's see. The aliens in the Mel Gibson movie Signs. That movie sucks.
Is that the water one?
Yes. So stupid. M. Night Shyamalama Ding Dong.
Yeah.
Jesse, there was a cartoon alien, Invader Zim, and the alien monsters from both. Do you remember Invader Zim?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
It's a big cult thing.
Oh, okay.
Cult classic thing.
There were alien monsters from both Pacific Rim and the 2014 version of Godzilla. That's true. They both ruled. Twilight Zone, To Serve Man, was awesome. That's a classic. Let's see. Tom says, the alien portrayed by Kyle MacLachlan in the movie The Hidden. Oh, have you ever seen The Hidden?
Mm-mm.
That's a really terrific movie. Great movie, like one of those under the radar movies from the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But an alien that can get in and appear as somebody else.
Oh, okay.
You know? That's why it's called The Hidden, because the alien is hidden inside.
Mm.
Also, actors who played host. Let's see. And Jeff Bridges in Starman. Jeff Bridges in Starman. Great performance. Have you seen Starman?
Mm-mm.
It's so good. You'll never look at Dutch apple pie the same after you see it.
Because he's
an alien. He's never tasted Dutch apple pie. And he eats the Dutch apple pie and just his eyes get really wide. And he goes, Dutch apple pie. Bill says, an alien people don't realize is an alien is Superman. Yes, he is. 815 area code, The Faculty. Oh, I barely remember that movie.
Oh.
I think Robert Rodriguez directed that movie, if I'm not mistaken.
Did he?
I think he did.
It's a bunch of, it was, I remember it was a lot
of. It's a teen thing, right? Like
yeah,
in high school?
A lot of IT stars of the, I want to say, late
90s. Yeah, it had the same kind of poster that Scream had, where it was all the young faces. You know,
Jordana
like, I know what
Brewster.
You did. I know what you did last summer. Where all mm-hmm. You know how they designed those posters?
Yeah, yeah.
H2O was like that, too. Halloween H2O.
Yeah. It was Jordana Brewster.
Josh Hartnett.
Yeah, Josh Hartnett.
Oh, that's right. Josh Hartnett. Was it Robert Rodriguez? Am I nuts?
I think you are right. It was Robert Rodriguez.
Okay. Doesn't seem like a Robert Rodriguez movie, but it is.
Who's the guy who looks like Tobey Maguire, but it's not him? He was North.
That's Elijah Wood.
Elijah Wood.
Yeah.
He was in it, too.
It's Frodo. Come on. It's Frodo, man.
He kind of looks like they all look Tobey Maguire and Elijah Wood.
Did you ever see the movie with Elijah Wood and hanging out with soccer hooligans beating the hell out of people?
No.
It's really good. And the dude from Sons of Anarchy, Charlie Hunnam, is in it.
Oh, no.
And he's all hunky.
Isn't he always?
Yes. He's a beautiful man. You ever see that movie, Dan? I can't remember what it's called. Hooligan Man?
Yeah, Green Street Hooligans.
Green Street Hooligans. Yeah. That's
it. Yeah, I did not see it. The Faculty also featured frequent fly jam artist Usher.
Oh, Usher.
Oh, really?
Well.
Oh.
Okay. How about Enemy Mine with Dennis Quaid? Dennis Quaid and Louis Gossett, who gave birth. He played an alien. He was a male alien who gave birth.
Oh.
Saris from Galaxy Quest. Rob in Clearwater says, any of the aliens in Men in Black, the pug dog in Men in Black.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then the guy at the pawn shop. You know, the alien, there are a lot of cool aliens in Men in Black.
Yeah.
A lot of cool aliens. And, you know, Vincent D'Onofrio is phenomenal in Men in Black.
Yeah.
Phenomenal physical performance by D'Onofrio in that.
And then they give the lady gives birth to the baby.
Yeah.
Tentacle baby.
Yeah. Let's see. Some of the other ones. Critters, The Fifth Element.
Oh, yeah.
Independence Day. E.T. How could we forget E.T.? Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Aliens. Yeah. A lot of aliens in that, too. So, all right, lots of good aliens. Well, we have to break here. Yeah, the news is coming up. Hey, Esmeralda, if you're in the market for a car, we have all the answers.
Oh, good.
Tomorrow, Tom Appel is going to be with us.
Oh, very nice.
All right, cool. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
All right, news is next.